Last week we started talking about in the part of the doctrine where we go towards baptism, and I covered most of everything except for the highlights at the end. But it's important that we can bring all this together, because today, in the culture that we're in the area that we're in, we are in a position where it's important as a responsibility, as a body of believers, believing we are the church, the body of Christ, that there is one baptism that we learn of in Ephesians chapter 4, that if there's anything at all that we are up against, and that's teaching proper doctrine for today. Years ago, I talked about how when I first started understanding right division that is in the Word, one thing that I tried to just ease over and be real simple with and try to tickle a little bit, I guess you would say, so I could get along with others, always dealt with one thing, of course, and that was baptism. Because I was baptized twice, okay? I was baptized as a elementary kid. I was baptized, and then also I was baptized again when I joined another church, because that's what they required for me to be part of their organization. And so I was one that was water baptized, but it really doesn't matter. I can try to say, well, I did it because of this, or I can try to justify all I want, but it doesn't make it right. The issue is, in Ephesians, it's clear that there is one baptism for us today in this doctrine, in the gospel of the grace of Christ. To promote any other kind, to me, I believe, and you'll see as we get to the end today, would really be dangerous for another believer by what they believe. Okay? And so we're going to touch on that a little bit. Last week, I threw out all kinds of verses, and so we're going to cover them real quick this morning. And I just want you to see the difference, how there's no similarities between that was written of in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the way to Acts chapter 8. And the differences in what Paul says when it comes to baptism. One thing that you'll notice, it is constantly brought up in all of the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was the baptism with water for the remission of sins. It talks about it over and over and over again. Mark brought it out this morning with what he's doing. But when Paul gets to it, you know why he doesn't have a lot to say about water baptism? Because it wasn't an issue. It wasn't part of the doctrine anymore. Okay? So I just want you to see all the similarities of one and the other and how they both come together. They don't fit at all, because they're two different doctrines. There's two different gospels. And so I asked Brian just to throw these verses out, because we wouldn't have time to just go through them all for me to finish. So, Brian, if you'll just start rolling from the first one, and then as we read it, or as we look at it, we'll see the differences, okay? Got that ready for me, buddy? Matthew 3:2. We know in Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist was on the scene, and he brought out, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What happened? Christ, the Savior of the world, had been born. He wasn't born and became a king, but he was born a king. And so what was always prophesied and been promised is, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was the issue, that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And now the next verse. In the same chapter, in verse 6, it says, "And were baptized of him in Jordan," and what were they doing? They were confessing their sins. And then the next verse, Brian, in the same chapter, you have verse 11 and 12. You still have those, thank you. Again, John makes a reference, and we touched on this last week. He says, "I indeed baptize you with water, but unto repentance." So the water baptism was for what? For the remission of sins, for repentance. That's what it was for, that they were to change their mind that Jesus was the Messiah. Okay? And he says, "With you with water unto repentance, that he that cometh after me is mightier than I," who we know was the King, was Jesus Christ, who was walking on the earth. Okay? "Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with," and keep going, "with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So there's two other baptisms that were going to take place. And they were succession. And you'll see that through scriptures. There was the Holy Ghost at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So John the Baptist goes through, the disciples go through, and they're baptizing for repentance, for the remission of sins. And he says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, then he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable. So being baptized with the Holy Ghost is the sign that they're going to endure to the end. They repented, they were baptized with water, they followed all the other conditions, and so therefore they received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. And those that didn't believe, they're going to be baptized with what? With fire, with judgment. And that's the issue, and they're in succession with each other. And you'll see that. Go to the next verse. In Mark chapter 1:4, it says John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance. Now, how did John baptize? It was with water, right? And that was known as no other kind of baptism but the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. How often do you sit or watch on TV, or go into any other organization, and you see them baptizing for the remission of sins? It's never even talked about. But water baptism in Scripture is the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Instead, they've made a whole new diction, or a whole new vocabulary, or a whole new reason for baptism. They say it's to follow the commandments of Jesus Christ. Well, this water baptism that started with John and then went all the way to Acts 2:38, where Peter told them what to do when they were pricked in their heart that they had killed their Messiah and that they believed now he was the Messiah, they were to what? Repent and be baptized for what? To show all this outward faith and this inward beauty that they have? Absolutely not. It was for the remission of sins. That's what water baptism was. And now the next verse. And in John 1:31-33, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I have come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven, like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit, back in a little bit, mate. I kind of threw this on once. There you go. The Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Now, what's happening? These people are believing, they're repenting for the remission of sins, they're being baptized with water. Christ is on the scene now, and he is fulfilling Scripture, and he knows the time is coming. He's going to die, be crucified, dead, buried, rose, and rise again. And then at Pentecost, what's going to happen? The Holy Ghost is going to come upon them so that all can believe. So that all those of Israel that were from other languages, from other areas, that had come together, these guys could speak with cloven tongues. And they would understand this who they crucified was the Messiah. It's a different baptism. So there's a lot of baptism. And then the next verse. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Look, in this doctrine, now you hear all over the place saying, well, I don't believe you have to be baptized to be saved in some organizations. Some organizations will tell you, you do have to be baptized with water to be saved. By the way, if you follow that doctrine, they're right. I mean, they're absolutely right. If they're going to follow the Scriptures by what they say, and you're going to follow the doctrine that is under Mark and what John the Baptist did, if you're going to follow that doctrine, you better follow it to the end, but it'll lead to your destruction, because we're not in that doctrine. We're not in that gospel. But in all fairness, they knew it right. Because it's clear, he that believeth and is baptized. There's a conjunction with it. It doesn't say, and if they would, for me, please, go ahead and be. No, it says, he that believeth and is baptized, why? They had to be baptized for the remission of sins. It was a remission of sins, water baptism. There was no other kind of water baptism but for the remission of sins. That's what it was for. It was the identification, right? That's what it was to Israel. And then the next. We saw Matthew 28:19-20. What Mark's going to be preaching on through the weeks to come. It says, go ye therefore. This is in red letters, so it's Jesus talking, like he didn't talk to the rest of the Bible. It's all Jesus talking. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, what's going to take place after Pentecost if all of Israel believed? The tribulation is going to come. It's going to be the end of the world. There's going to be a new Jerusalem. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. All that takes place. But what's going on here? Christ has been resurrected here, right? And he's saying, going to Jerusalem. They're all going to be baptized with water, and this Holy Spirit to come upon them, and all these other things are going to take place. All the way to the end of the world. That's all they knew. They didn't have a clue about Paul. They didn't have a clue that Israel was going to fall. They didn't have a clue of any of those things. Although they had been told many things, they still didn't have a clue yet. Well, if you'll notice, go to the next one. In Matthew 24:14, what's happened here? Has Christ died yet? No, he hasn't. But he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, the end never came when he died, was crucified, and raised again, did it? So he's telling them what to do. Next verse. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did John say? Baptized with the Holy Ghost. Okay? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Next verse. Now, Ephesians 4:1-6. We're going to look at what Paul said. So a lot has changed. And we know, even, I tell you what, before we get there, if you'll go to Acts 2, real quick, there's one I left out. Acts chapter 2. And look at verse 38. I tell you what, go to verse 36. So we see all these things just in a highlight dealing with the baptism of water that had gone on. And we know that the baptism of water is for the remission of sins. It was for them to be obedient so that when the Holy Ghost came upon them, those that believed would be baptized what? With the Holy Ghost. They would have an understanding. By the way, those that did not believe, did the Holy Ghost come upon them? No. And they'll be judged, baptized with what? Fire. And so you see here in Acts chapter 2, 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now it says we said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, had Paul been saved yet? Absolutely not. So Paul's not even on the scene. The things that Paul said, the foundation that Paul had laid, had not even come about. They don't have a clue. And so is Peter talking to all the world here? No, he's not. Then Peter said unto them, let me back up. In verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know. Peter is talking to the nation of Israel. Okay? That's who he's talking to. These baptisms that John the Baptist talked about was to who? The nation of Israel. You'll see all the churches that are in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is what? It's to the nation of Israel. For them to be baptized because they had to become a kingdom of priests. And their heritage goes all the way back. They can follow it all the way back to the Old Testament. Sacrifice after sacrifice. They knew what water baptism would bring forth. It was a picture. It was a semblance. It was symbolic of the issue of their sins. Water baptism all the way through showed the issue, and it identified Israel as a kingdom of priests and what they needed to do. And that's why when Christ preached what we call a great commission that isn't to us, go into all the world preaching these things, following the commandments of all that I've told you to do, they had to be baptized in order to be believers. If not, they would be damned. But today, churches all across America put all their different little rules in, and they baptize in water for a totally different reason, and then tell you, well, it's really not necessary, you can still go to heaven. But that is not the case, and that is not what it preaches if you follow that gospel. It says you will be damned. I mean, the word even says what it says or it doesn't. Let's take it for what it is. Okay? And so we see this in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Did the message that John the Baptist gave and the message that Peter gave come up any different? Not at all. It was for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it's clear we can have the definition when we see water baptism that it pertains to the nation of Israel. Okay, Paul has never been on the scene with it, and it dealt with being towards the remission of sins is what it was for. It didn't change from the death and the burial and the resurrection one bit when it came to this doctrine, did it? Not a bit. But today they'll tell you, yeah, but now, since Christ has been resurrected, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. By the way, it was still for the remission of sins. It never changed. But that's never shared. Okay? Now, look at the difference in what Paul speaks of an importance of a baptism and what John the Baptist spoke of. Because many believe this is a water baptism. But Paul never mentions it. In fact, when he does mention it one time, okay, he backs away from what whether it was important or not. In Ephesians, where were you at, Brian? I'm sorry. You got to turn back on. There, thanks, buddy. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Paul is saying, look, I beg you, I implore you, in other words, please take note of what I'm saying. It is the utmost important that's why he uses beseech you that ye walk worthy. There is a way that we walk worthy. If we can walk worthy, can we walk unworthy? Can we be irresponsible? Is that a word? Yeah, irresponsible. Thank you. I'm not saying unresponsible. We can walk irresponsible by which vocation we are called. And so if water baptism is not the issue, if we promote it at all, or if we say, it's okay if you do it, then we are not walking worthy by which the vocation by which we are taught. We're being unscriptural, and we're confusing people just as much as those that do baptize. So it is important that we take a stand of what is right and what's wrong. And I'm not telling you to take a sledgehammer and beat somebody over the head that has been baptized with water or that is going to be. Instead, show them the Scripture, and they can decide for themselves. It's not necessary to beat people up over this. Now, it is necessary for me to beat you up over it because you already know the truth. Okay? And so, therefore, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering. There's a way to do it. You don't just beat people up for it. We don't just say, you've done what? You know, it's not about that. But the issue is, if you don't tell the truth, then they're not going to know whether it's important or not. And it says, forbearing one another in love. We do this stuff out of love to show them the truth. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, go ahead, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's very clear, John the Baptist brought up three baptisms in Matthew. Paul says there is one baptism. So something had to change, and he is beseeching you. He is imploring on you to make a big deal about this, but yet do it out of love. Be smart about it, but show the truth. one God and Father of all. Because was He the Father of all in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Was He in Acts 2? Absolutely not. Ye men of Israel, what must we do? Ye men of Israel. I mean, He was not the Father of all, was He? But He is now. And He says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Because at the point that you're baptized, He is in you. You don't have to wait for something to come down on you, for you to speak a special language to show them or to prove to them in any way. What did the Jews require? Signs, wonders, and miracles. It's not required in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. There's no magical empowerment of me to speak to you in another language and get somebody else to interpret it. By the way, that language was a language people could understand. That was taken up in Acts chapter 2. This is a language we can understand because it says one baptism. And it's very clear. And that's what Paul says. Paul here is speaking of Spirit baptism when he speaks of this in Ephesians. Go to Romans chapter 6. Hey, thanks, Brian, for doing that. Oh, I'll tell you what, show the next two verses. Yeah, just real quick. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Paul says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. If there's one baptism, and it says, Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, that baptism that Paul talks about in Ephesians must be Spirit baptism. There's no water at all spoken of. It says, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Well, what does that mean? It's the issue now, water baptism is no longer important, even if you're a Jew. Your Spirit baptism is what's important. To believe that He forgave you of your sins, that He was dead, buried, and resurrected for you. The issue in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts 1 through 8, wasn't the issue that He'd forgiven you of your sins. They were water baptized for the remission of sins. Well, we are already forgiven for our sins, right? There's no need for water baptism for the remission of sins. Christ paid that baptism, right? And He says, whether we be Jews or even those unbelieving Jews now, they couldn't go to the flock now and start becoming one. It was over. Whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's why Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and man need to take heed how he buildeth thereupon. He can't take the Jewish roots and lay the false gospel at all. And neither can you, saying, well, it's okay if you do this. We do this way. Oh, what we do, we love to do it this way. And what we, I mean, this is what goes on with that. Okay? Go ahead, Ron. The next. 1 Corinthians 1:7. So that ye come behind and no gift, waiting for those. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong verse, big guy.
1:17.
Yeah, 1:17. My fault, Ron. Me and Don said today that I said it was my fault. So I can't say
that. Don't make note of that.
But it's hard to say that I can be wrong.
It's recorded.
Thank you, dear. For Christ, Paul even comes and becomes bold about this. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know what happens? When a preacher baptizes somebody today in water and makes the definition of it totally different, he brings you wisdom of words. It makes the cross of Christ of none effect. By the way, you know when a preacher does it and he does it right as if we're following that gospel? He does it with wisdom of words to another doctrine. And it tosses people to and fro to every wind of doctrine, not knowing what to believe. And Paul laid the foundation. And it's not the same foundation that was given to Peter, because it's not a kingdom gospel. Okay, we've got to remember that. Now, Romans chapter 6, verse 3. This is what many use today if they are having a water baptismal service. This is probably the most popular scripture for many to use today. I don't care where they're at. But if they practice water baptism, this is what they use. In Romans 6:3 it says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. And they'll draw the picture of how buried with him in baptism, okay? And then brought to life, and they bring this beautiful symbolic picture. But it's water that they're using this. Why don't they use dirt? It's my question. I mean, let's bury. No, you not. So many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. This verse is used so much today in baptism service, but yet doesn't speak at all of any water whatsoever. This baptizing to His death is taking your sins to the grave that He paid for. Okay? In fact, Luke tells of this, and the disciples didn't have an idea what He was talking about. Not a clue. Christ Himself mentions this baptism into death, and there's no water involved, and so much so, when He told them in Luke, they didn't have a clue. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Now remember, as you're turning there, John the Baptist says, I baptize with water for the remission of sins. That he could come after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? With fire. Okay? When Luke, he is speaking again, and he says in verse 49, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? Look at verse 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? What's he talking about? The baptism of death. And they ain't got a clue what he's talking about, because all they knew was the baptism of water and what's to come and the fire. And Christ here says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. You know what that baptism of death symbolizes? Division. There's two Gospels that's going to come, and one didn't have a clue about it. They never did, and that's why in Acts 2 they thought, we're in the tribulation. Now it's going to come. Now, and that's why in Acts 1 he says, are you going to set your kingdom up now? Because they don't know of anything else that's going to take place. Christ even mentioned it to them that he had a baptism to be baptized with. That he's not bringing peace, he's bringing division. It's clear here that this is another besides water, because he had already been baptized with water. Right? In Luke chapter 12, Christ had already been baptized, and he's bringing up another baptism that he is going to be baptized with. I would just think that would just draw up 100,000 question marks if I would have been one of the disciples or one of the apostles. Wouldn't it, you? Christ is speaking of another baptism. Okay? That they didn't have a clue about. Here in Romans, we are identified, what we read in 6, we are identified with the baptism of death. They were buried. It's not a picture of remission. It's a picture of our sins being buried, gone. When He died on the cross, guess what? We died on the cross. When He was buried, we were buried. When He rose, we rose with Him. It is an identification, is what it is. Okay? We were raised in Him. How? To walk how? In newness of life. That's why Paul brought up the fact that I beseech you to walk worthy by which you're called. Right? By the vocation by which you're called. To walk worthy of that. And we weren't raised out of water, were we? We were raised out of newness of life. Raised from the dead, He died for our sins and was raised for our justification. Has nothing to do with water baptism for remission of sins. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Turn with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, we read it already. I would highlight this because it's not a water baptism that many say it is. It is a Spirit baptism. It says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Today, in churches everywhere, water baptism has a huge emphasis. It is huge. If people are asked if they are saved today, you know what a lot of them will tell you? "Well, I've been baptized." It's exactly what they will tell you. By the way, the tally in many organizations today aren't how many salvations there were, it's how many baptisms were there. So don't be fooled by the fact that they tell you that baptism is not important and you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Because they turn around and they act out on the other side of their mouth. People equate water baptism with salvation is what they do. So to baptize people today, I believe, at all, would be a dangerous move for our doctrine. That's why. It would imply to them that they had done something in order to be saved. And salvation is a free gift, not by works. And so that's why Paul says, "I beseech you," right, to follow that calling by which you're called, by the vocation by which you're called. And you're called by the gospel of the grace of God, not a kingdom gospel. And if we're going to say the other, then the others are damned that aren't. But yet they seem to mix it all up. Spirit baptism does things that water could never do. Right? Remember that. Spirit baptism does things that water can never do. First of all, it's done by the Spirit. Hands could not do it. Okay? It takes place at the moment you're saved. It places you into the body of Christ. And it takes away all distinctions, is what it does. Right? It doesn't matter whether you're Jew. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are. It takes away all distinctions. When the Holy Spirit baptizes you because you have trusted in what Christ did at the cross, it don't matter your color, your creed, or anything about you at all, the Holy Spirit baptizes you without distinction. Right? Go to Galatians 3:28. In Galatians 3:28, the Word says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." So what's the issue? It don't matter if you're man or woman. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek. It doesn't matter if you're bound or not. It has no distinction. When you trust in what Christ did, you are saved and baptized. One baptism, Spirit baptism. Okay? That's the issue. It also makes you a partaker of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That's what Spirit baptism does. It makes you a partaker of that. It makes a person, what's Colossians chapter 2 say? Complete in Christ. If you're complete in Christ, you had everything to do with being a partaker of the death, the burial, and resurrection. That's why Romans 6:3 says, "Buried with Him, in like, as like Christ, raised with Him, in newness of life." There's no water there at all. Okay? It also makes only one baptism for us, the members of the body of Christ. So we don't need 16 others. Because we read in Ephesians 4:4, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith." By the way, that's important too. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. To believe in that we need to be partakers of all the baptisms makes it more than one faith, right? There would be various faiths. By the way, all across the world today, there are various different baptisms. Okay, there's only one rite that was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's only one rite today. And so there are various doctrines, or let me say this, there are various wrong doctrines. Okay, there's only one right doctrine today. And so there's one faith. But a lot today, people say, well, that's okay, y'all do it this way, that's okay. You know what you're saying? That it's okay to have various faiths. Right? It's not okay. It's not okay. Because there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There are many today that also say that baptism has nothing to do with salvation. And then they'll tell you that there are two ordinances of the church. When I was brought to be a deacon of a church, I had to pass a test, and it was one question. And that was to know the two ordinances. You know what it was? Lord's Supper. Y'all been there too. The Lord's Supper and baptism. If you didn't get those right, you wouldn't be a deacon. You had to understand that was the ordinance for today. Couldn't find it anywhere in here by where they got that from, but it was. They will go as far as saying that salvation is by grace through faith too. That's what they'll say. Then they will tell you that you can't be part of their fellowship without being baptized in water. Well, which one is it? It's a picture of being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. There are places today that require more to you being part of their assembly than Christ requires you being a part of the body of Christ. Right? Why would that be? Well, that's tradition. Tradition has taken this to be this way. Tradition has done this. Somewhere down the line, man started an institution, set rules for you to belong to his club, and after hundreds of years, people have made it law under their club. That's what they've done. They use scriptures that aren't associated with today's gospel. And Paul says, I beseech you that we need to know by the vocation of our calling, being long-suffering, gentle, tender-hearted. I mean, there's a way that people need to see that they're bound by tradition. Spirit baptism is associated with our doctrine today. And there's no other baptism that is associated with our doctrine today. Ephesians 2:8 makes it clear in closing. Go to Ephesians 2:8. In Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Nope. For by grace are you saved through faith. The fact that Christ was dead, buried, and resurrected, forgiving you of your sins. That's the faith. Not being water baptized for the remission of our sins. Those sins have been taken care of. Okay? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's also a Holy Spirit baptism too. It is the gift of God. Not of works is the issue, lest any man should boast. So then water baptism is not a testimony of your faith, is it? Because this faith is not of works. Because we have the faith of Christ, what He did. The testimony of your faith is what comes out of your mouth. That's the testimony. You want the testimony of your faith? What comes out of your mouth? Is it by the Scripture by which we're saved, sharing with others that Christ died for our sins, was dead, buried, and resurrected? Or is what comes out of our mouth all the things that we've done in order to prove people that we're saved? If you say, well, I'm saved, I've been baptized, that's a work. Right? The testimony of your faith, if you want to know somebody's faith, ask them if they're saved. And how they know they're saved. You know where the testimony of your faith comes from? It comes from your mouth and what you say and what you know through the Scriptures. Divided rightly. What you know and trust without works. Listen to the verse again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A man that will boast in himself for his salvation probably isn't saved. Amen? a man that shares the testimony of what Christ did and what he trusts in, chances are he's saved. Amen?